John chapter 20. The same day at evening. So, of course, Jesus being resurrected on Sunday morning. And so that's the first day of the week. But I say again, their day begins at dusk. The first star in the sky begins the new day. And it carries in, to the next dusk. And so this is going to be early in that, afternoon, if you will, that evening. It says, but it says something specific, the same day. Okay, so that's why we have to make sure that we understand what we're talking about. Being the first day of the week. If it was dark, it would be what? It would be the second day of the week. I know it doesn't mean much, but let's just make sure we understand. Okay? When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. And that's important. Look, the resurrection was discovered at dawn. They came. He wasn't there. They went back and told the apostles. Peter and John ran to the tomb. He wasn't there. Right? The angel had said to the ladies, he's not here. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He said to Mary, I must ascend to the Father. And so there was a lot to be done. And so when they got there, they didn't find him. And the ladies, the sisters, let's call them sisters, they said, he's risen. Mary saw him. Mary talked to him. He's risen from the grave. But it seemed to them as what? Idle tales. They didn't believe it. They didn't. Now here are, this is a church group. So here's our church group. Okay. Do you believe everybody in this room, it will be honest with you, you believe if we saw something and became that excited about it, wouldn't you say, this is somebody I love. Why would they lie to me? This is somebody who obviously believes what they're telling. They're not making it up. It's not just a story. And so one of two things is true, right? Either it's the truth or they lost their minds. Right? They don't know what they're talking. Like, they believe it. And so here are these dear ladies that they love, and these ladies love Jesus. Why would they lie about Jesus being raised from the dead? Why would they lie about angels in the garden? They didn't lie about the tomb being empty, right? That part was true. But sometimes we're willing to believe part of the story, not the whole story, because it's just too fantastic for us to understand. It's just beyond. And remember, Jesus had told them, the temple will be torn down. I'll build it back in 3 days. They thought, wow, that's a lot of work in 3 days. They were talking about the temple. He was talking about the temple. And so there were some things that had been said. I must spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and 3 nights is over. So if they had picked up on those little things, this tell that he was risen from the grave would not have been too fantastic to understand. Sometimes we go to church or we read the Bible and we hear preaching and teaching and we hear things that don't resonate with us right away. But it's there. And sometimes we remember, right? Like sometimes when your wife says to you, remember I said that to you? And you say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so these ladies come and they tell the apostles, this is what happened. But the apostles are still, they still don't have that, oh, yeah, moment. They're confused. They're perplexed. They're wondering. They're doubting. It can't be true. Somebody stole the body. Right? In fact, what was the story of the government? The official story is someone stole the body. Right? The guards should have been killed because they didn't fulfill their duties as guards. They couldn't keep the angels out. They couldn't keep Jesus in. But I'm telling you, there's no guard that could. They were knocked out by the power of God. And so they said, well, while we were sleeping, that was their story. Their story was, well, we fell asleep and somebody stole them. Well, that story should get you executed for falling down on the guard, on the job. But they didn't, right? They didn't kill them. They let them tell their story. They let them tell that falsified story. But here's the problem for the government. He's still out there. He's still walking around. He's still free. He's still alive. And so sooner or later, the story falls apart. And so that's the story. The apostles, they can't understand. Is it true? Is the soldier's story true? Is the lady's story true? Did they really see angels? Did they really see Jesus? Is he really risen from the grave? Wow, I don't know. But Jesus had given instructions. He said, tell them I'm meeting them tonight. Tell them this evening we're going to get together, right? And so they are assembled, and they're in hiding. They're in secret. What are they going to do? I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to be together, and we're going to be quiet. We're going to be in private. By the way, he was dead 3 days, 3 nights, right? In the grave, and we talked about this morning, in paradise. And remember when they went to raise Lazarus from the dead? So, right, that was 4 days. Now we're at the end of that fourth day, right? At the end of Sunday. And so where is he, and what would they do with the body, and does he stinketh, right? Has he started to really live in the death, right? Is he really dead? And so they're assembled, and they're wondering. They're meeting together. They're mourning. They're in grief. Did y'all start reading in verse 19? Jesus stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. Which is to say what? The sacrifice has been accepted. I've been to the Father. I've been to the altar. I've been to the throne of God, presented myself as the Lamb of God. The sacrifice for all times, for all who ever lived, to all who ever sinned, and it's been accepted. Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands. Now, as I think about the crucifixion, the damage to the body of Jesus, of course, his brow from the crown, his back from the whips, they plucked his beard out. You imagine what that must have looked like. And as he comes, now maybe it's because he's wearing kind of one of those hooded robes. I don't know what he was wearing. It doesn't tell us. But he shows them his hands. What are these in thy hands? The wounds I received in the house of my friends. That's the prophecy. That's what he said. He shows them his side, where they speared him and blood and water came pouring out. And so he shows them those wounds. Then, verse 20, were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. All day worrying. What could they do? What could they change? They couldn't undo anything. They couldn't do anything. The one thing they were to do was to stick together and to wait for instructions from the Lord. He shows them, it's really me. And look up at verse number 17 and what he said to Mary. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Remember, he has not been in heaven for 33 years. 34 years. Let's just round it up for the pregnancy. He hasn't been in heaven for 34 years. I don't know what you're thinking about it, but he went to paradise 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the heart of the earth. Then the time comes, he comes back to the tomb. And he takes on his body. He stands out there. He talks to Mary. And verse 17, tell them I'll meet with them. But I got to go to the Father. And then he goes to heaven. Jesus went back to heaven after 34 years. Can you imagine the choir, the heavenly host, the trumpets, the music, the singing, the shouting? Right? Not only that, but remember all those prisoners that were in hold in paradise, Abraham's bosom, they got to go too after their sacrifice was accepted. Can you imagine what heaven was like that day? I would have loved to have been there for that. You talk about a home going and a home coming. Boy, they were shouting Jesus, and he is coming down the hill on, well, we say Palm Sunday. He is coming down, descending into Jerusalem before the crucifixion, and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Imagine what happened when he got to heaven. When he showed up in heaven after 34 years, they'd been watching him. Remember, we looked at that as a root out of dry ground and a tender plant, all those things as the Father's watching his Son on earth. And you know, all the everybody else up there watching Jesus and you know, make just worry something bad's going to happen, and then it does. Imagine what heaven was like for 3 days. Imagine what heaven was like that day when he was crucified. They knew what was going to happen. The story was there. It was written. But when it happened, it was different. And then for 3 days, 3 nights, he's in the heart of the earth. And then he comes up there. And what a celebration it must have been. Anyway, y'all ever think about that stuff? I mean, what a wonderful event. What a wonderful time. He's home. He's home. I think about the prodigal son when he came home. Jesus is no prodigal, but you imagine the feast they had. Imagine the celebration they had when Jesus showed up and saw the Father. Anyway, he shows up in this room with the apostles and he says, peace, forgiveness, and salvation. It's all been answered. Guys, that was the moment. When the Father accepted that sacrifice, we had no doubt he would. But it was official. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. And when the Father accepted that sacrifice, it was finished. The disciples were glad. They were relieved. Boy, they've been wondering what happened to him. They knew he was dead. No doubt he was dead, but how could he be alive again? They wondered. And now it's true. They're overjoyed. They're excited that he's alive. Verse number 21. And said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Look, it's great that we celebrate, but now there's work to be done. Understand that the whole life of Jesus was just the beginning. Now, he said, I send you. We've got to understand that's our call. That's our mission. I send you. The Father sent me, now I send you. Jesus was here representing heaven, now we're here representing heaven. We've never been there, but we've read about it. We're here representing the Father. We've never seen him, but we know about him. And by the power of the Holy Ghost in us, the enthusiasm, the breath of God in us, that's what the word enthusiasm means. That's why we should be enthusiastic people. We were singing that song just a minute ago about being happy, and I looked out to see if you were, right? No, not so much. It's hard to sing and smile at the same time, though. And so, but we need to have that joy overflowing. Our Savior's risen. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a dead Jesus. Not only is he risen from the grave, but he's ascended on high. He's on the right hand of the Father where he makes intercession on our behalf. He is the mediator. When you pray, you call out and Jesus hears our prayer because we're born again. He's our Savior. And when we pray, he goes to the Father and he says, this is what Derek's asking. That's how important it is to pray. So send I you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to remember something. When he called the apostles, he gave them power. They had power. Cast out devils, heal the sick, whatever. They had that power of the authority of Jesus Christ. When he gave them that, they had it. Though sometimes they weren't quite capable because they weren't spiritually ready. But here he gives them something else. Here he gives them the presence of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God himself in us. Isn't that incredible? As children of God, when we prayed and asked God's forgiveness, he sent a part of him, the Holy Spirit of God, to live inside of us. That's why sometimes we know something's wrong even without being told. not just, say, a sin, but timing. Guys, we've got to rely on God's timing. And in ministry, we've got to let God guide us through it, lead us through it. And the other thing is, with the Holy Ghost, who wrote the Bible, right? We say it's God breathed, okay? Well, Jesus just breathed and gave them the Holy Ghost. So if this is the inspired Word of God, right? Inspired, that's breath. If this is the inspired Word of God, who better to talk to or to guide me through it than God Himself? Amen? So with the Holy Spirit, so we pray as we study, we don't disconnect the line, right, Bill? Don't disconnect the line yet. We got to stay in the Word, stay connected with God, let Him guide us through it word by word, line by line. Because there'll be so much we miss if we're not relying on the Holy Ghost. By the way, a lot of people out there think they know all about the Bible. But if you're not saved, you cannot know, because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man knoweth not the things of God, receiveth not the things of God. We can't know it unless we're saved. But once we're saved, we have the author within us. So He gave them the Holy Ghost. But something that we find out in verse 24 is somebody was missing in that group. Somebody wasn't there. You look around you. Did you look around this morning to see who was missing? Somebody was missing. Wouldn't it have been something to have been Thomas and miss church that night? You miss, look, hey, and it wasn't even Sunday morning service. That was a Sunday night service. Right? A lot of people say, well, Sunday night service. Thomas missed Sunday night service. Boy, didn't he miss out. Verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, which means he was a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Okay, hold on a second. Let's back up. These ladies come in that morning and they say, Jesus is risen from the grave. And they all say, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Right? Now that evening, they have church. Thomas not there. Next time they see him, they say, hey, Jesus came to church last night, which is great. Always good to have church when Jesus shows up. And he says, what? I don't believe it. Common thread. Common thread. I don't believe it. And so, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now that is making a statement. Well, what if that was the only time he was going to show up? What if he was only one shot? Well, think about these opportunities. When someone offers you an opportunity, always say yes and try to figure out how you can fulfill it. Right? If I said to you, let's all take a cruise. Y'all don't like cruises? Anyway, let's take a cruise tomorrow. Some of you would say, I need a babysitter, or I need to call out of work or whatever. I say, look, it's all expenses paid. We're going anywhere in the world you want to go. Let's just do it. You'd find a way to make it work, wouldn't you? You say, okay, I'll do it. And then you'd work all night trying to make it work out. Well, here's an opportunity. And Thomas missed the opportunity because he said, well, it wasn't convenient. I don't know why. Does the Bible tell us why he wasn't there? I don't find it anywhere. Maybe he was late and decided, well, at this point, there's no point going. Y'all ever done that for church? I've done it. I remember sometimes we'd drive to church, get there so late, we just turn around and go home. It's too late. But Thomas didn't show up. And they say, he's risen from the grave. What an exciting message. Why wouldn't he say, guys, y'all would never lie to me. I believe you, but where is he now? That's not what he said. They're so full of doubt. They're so convinced by the crucifixion that they overlook the resurrection. There are people who will say to us that Jesus, number one, is a historical figure. Number two, that he was a good man. And number three, that he was crucified on a cross. But what they deny is the most powerful event of all, and that's when he came up out of that grave. He's the resurrected Savior. And so Thomas's statement, which, you know, earns him the nickname Doubting Thomas. By the way, they all told the girls, "We don't believe," right? So why aren't they doubting Peter and James and John and Matthew and Nathaniel? Why aren't they all doubters? They all are. But Thomas earned the nickname. And that's it. Jesus doesn't show up the next day. Monday comes and goes. There's no Jesus. Tuesday, they don't see him anywhere. Wednesday, they don't see him anywhere. These apostles are going around town telling people, "Hey, he's not dead. He's risen from the grave." The government's telling a story that somebody stole the body. So there's all kinds of talk all around town. Everybody's wondering what really happened. And what does Thomas, they go to Thomas, they go, "Thomas, did you hear Jesus rose from the grave?" He said, "Look, I don't want to get into it." "Well, don't you believe he rose from the grave?" "Well, I don't want to commit myself. I don't want to take a side." Right? That's what we do. "Oh, I don't want to take a side." Hey, guys, at some point you got to take a side. The church, everybody you love and know and walked with and ministered with for 3.5 years, says he rose from the grave. Why would they lie about that? Thomas, why would you stand on the outside of the church? 8 days go by, right? After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Look, just because he didn't agree with them doesn't mean he quit going to church. Y'all notice that? Just because he didn't believe what they had to say didn't mean he quit being part of the church. The doors being shut, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. By the way, Thomas wasn't there for the first message, so you know what Jesus did? He preached it again. "Peace be unto you." Same message. Then saith he to Thomas, oh, Thomas didn't say, "Hey, look, Jesus, I didn't believe him." No, but Jesus knew, didn't he? Jesus says, "Thomas, I believe you said something about putting your finger in here. Go ahead. I believe you said something about my side. Go ahead. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Oh, he believed it then, didn't he? This morning we learned about the importance of not picking up sticks on Sabbath. And tonight we learn about not missing Sunday night church. You never know. We had a girl that would travel out of time. She was in college. She would go back home. And then I'd give her a ride to church. So I'd pick her up and take her to church. And she said, "Did I miss anything last Sunday? Somebody got saved. Somebody got baptized." So, you know, as always, she said, "Every time I go out of town, something good happens." I said, "Well, you ought to go out of town more often." Verse 30. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, he might have life through his name." We could, just like John writes there, we could talk about the resurrection. There's so much. I don't know if you've looked at it this week, especially throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament and even the prophecy. There's so much. It's so rich in the resurrection of Jesus. But the most important thing is that we believe the testimony. Believe the testimony. Understand, there's going to be opposing views. Let's not be on the outside. Let's take a stand. Let's choose a side. Let's be confident. Let's do our studies, do our research. Let's take a stand. Let's not stand like Thomas in between, going, "Well, I don't want to commit." By the way, Thomas did commit. He committed to the wrong side. Let's stand. Father, we are grateful for your word and how exciting it is as we just see the humanity of the church and that day and the days following to understand that There was some resistance to the truth even within the church. But in the end, they came to the right side. God help us to grow, to admit our faults, to confess our sins, and to grow up, to mature in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with your grace. Use us this week to make a difference. In Jesus' name.